tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
There it is! The Good Wife music. Thank you so much for joining us for another AfterBuzz after show. I was going to say AfterBuzz after TV. I can't talk tonight, apparently. Another AfterBuzz after show for The Good Wife. I should be good at this by now. Season 6, Episode 5, Shiny Objects is the name of it. I don't understand why that's the name of it, but we'll get into that. I'm your host, Courtney Henderson, and with me tonight, I'm only in studio with Mr. Bobby DeMuro.
Hey, Courtney, how you doing?
Good.
I had it up to here with this show this week. We'll talk about it. Not so much here or like here, but right here with this show this week, okay? It was for me, I was not a fan this week. But we'll get into it, so let's jump on.
So I want to talk about, first of all, the name, briefly.
Okay.
Shiny Objects. Where did that come from?
We could probably find another couple reasons why it was called Shiny Objects, but the obvious one to me is Elsbeth and her, like, you know, attention deficit disorder. I know she has a lot of issues we've seen, but kind of her lack of focus.
Oh,
the shiny
okay.
object. Shiny
object.
I was
like, there wasn't
object.
Actually a shiny object though that she was distracted by. But that's sort of the
just. I think the idea.
It's the saying.
And I'm sure,
I get it.
I'm sure it can be used in a couple other storylines. We'll parse it out throughout the show. I didn't actually think about that yet. So maybe when we're talking about it, we'll come up with other good explanations.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, you brought it up right there with Elsbeth. She's back. We have Miss Tassioni, and you know I always feel bad because Raina, thank you. See, I always forget because I'm just so Elsbeth is a shiny object to me. Like, I'm just so distracted watching her because she's such an interesting actress, and I love that they've found a way to kind of incorporate her in the show without kind of her taking over in any capacity, because I think that that would sort of take away from the main storyline with what Alicia has going on.
I would actually argue the opposite point. I think she totally took over this episode. She did take away from the main storyline with Alicia. She totally made... Look, I'm all for a show that is a little lighter after the first four episodes with State's Attorney and Lamon Bishop and all this stuff that's very serious this season. I'm cool with a lighter show. We can't have Will Gardner get shot every episode, right? We have
or
to do
every
some light
season.
Stuff.
There's only season. One Will Gardner,
but,
Bobby.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. But this was too light, too unfocused, way too far of a left turn, too much on Elsbeth, and I'm sitting there this entire episode, and we'll talk about the malware, the ransomware in a minute too, but I'm sitting there this whole episode, I'm like, why do I care? What's the point? I don't actually care about Elsbeth. I understand she's there for comedic value, it's a quirky lawyer, like I get the bit, but I'm like, okay. I would have rather, there are better comedic bit parts. There are better comedic clients in this series. We saw a bunch of them in season 5. And Elsbeth, for me, just didn't do it this time.
Like who? Who are you thinking of?
What is the name of the very, very quirky client that loves Alicia, who is maybe framed for murder at one point in season 5? His name just escaped me.
I can't
rich
even
guy.
Think of it either.
You know exactly
the
what
one
I'm
that kills
about.
His wives.
Yes. That guy. I want to see him if we're going to do a quirky guy. And I know it's tougher to write him in.
But he's not.
It's easier
like,
to write
comedic
an attorney.
Quirky.
But he's weird. He's quirky
well, yeah,
and kind of strange.
Yeah, but he's still kind of like a heavy quirky because he
good,
kills
though.
His wife.
This show is kind
allegedly.
Of heavy. This show
right, but
is
you just said
kind of
that the
heavy.
Point of the episode was to have a lighter episode.
But
and it felt
but
that.
But this is my point. It was too light. It was too light. Elsbeth was too far off. I didn't ever buy into the Vargas story. I don't know what we're going to see next week or beyond with the Vargas story.
Well, let's talk about it because I don't really think that I wasn't interested in that case either. I think that it was kind of a weird case. Now, you know, sexism is a real thing. That's something that people are fighting with every day. And so I like that they brought in kind of a real topic, but I agree with you. I don't really like the way that it was kind of framed in this specific court case, you know, with these, like with Elsbeth and kind of the lightness of it.
Let me put it to you this way. What do you think about sexism being brought in, a very important topic in the workplace with female CEOs and all the stuff that they sort of hinted at talking about, but the way that they portray it directly in this episode, when they're talking about sexism and capable women and blah, 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 they have Elsbeth, who is completely incapable of doing anything in court. And we're told that she's brilliant, and we've seen stuff before, and I know that there's obviously something down the pipeline where she's going to do something brilliant whenever we see her next. But in this whole episode today, she really struggles. She comes across looking like a quack.
Well, yeah,
that's not the greatest what's the word I'm looking for? That's not the greatest maybe recommendation of strong women when you're trying to supposedly portray strong women and talk about sexism in the business world.
Right.
You have Elsbeth.
But I don't think that they were using her as kind of a
It's impossible
a
not to link
spokesperson.
Them. It's impossible not to link them. If you have Vargas and in the same room you've got totally incapable Elsbeth, it's impossible not to link those two together. You can't not do it.
Do you link Vargas with Alicia then?
I never bought into...
Or Reyna?
I don't know. I don't know enough. I didn't know in this episode we didn't see enough about Reyna, even though we know her well. We didn't see enough about Reyna to link
it. No, but I mean, you're saying that you're linking Vargas from the case to Elsbeth.
With Elsbeth's behavior in this episode, yes.
Right, but why not also link it with the other two women that were...
Because it was in this courtroom. Alicia's behavior was in her state's attorney stuff. It was outside of the courtroom. She didn't do as much in the courtroom. This is Elsbeth working.
Are you kidding me? She was the one that was doing all the little like cheap tricks with the distractions.
But,
which is also a thing I didn't like about the case, because I'm not going to let you talk. I'm just going to keep talking for on and on. I didn't like that they kind of had to resort to that as lawyers, that there wasn't something better. Now, of course, when you know somebody and they have a tell of some sort, and you, why not use it? But it just sort of felt a little bit cheap, or kind of, I don't know. I guess at the same time, kind of with the ransomware, though, maybe that's all they had. They didn't have anything else to put in their files because their files were encrypted and locked away with Mr. Rushaman.
Listen, it's like great poker players say, it is dishonorable to let a fool keep his money, right? When somebody has a tell, you go on and keep busting them up and busting them up and busting them up, and they will learn. So I know what you're saying. It's a little underhanded what Alicia did, but that is Elsbeth's tell, if you're going to use a poker term. And she did what she had to do, considering her situation. I just never got into the Vargas case and the J-Serve thing, and I guess because we've now seen Parati or whatever, that this will come up maybe again next episode or down the road, so maybe we'll continue to develop this case. But everything that I've seen today with it, this was a really long episode to me. I'm kind of like, this is, not that it's boring, but I can't get into the Vargas thing. I couldn't get really into Kalinda. I could not get in at all with the ransomware. The only thing I liked is this state's attorney drama with Alicia and Finn and Peter, and we'll get to that later.
That was a very small part of this episode.
And I wish it were a little bit bigger. I'm okay with us taking a left turn from it and not do it every time, but what they took a left turn to wasn't working for me.
Well, especially since with Carrie's case, they had one comment. Kalinda made a comment, you know, when her and Carrie were, I don't know whose place they were at, but one of their places, and, you know, he's getting the phone call, and she kind of says, well, maybe they're calling to tell you that the charges have been dropped. But it's like, you can't lead in with cases like, and I agree, like, you know, having a light episode and kind of moving on from all of the heaviness of that and the intensity. At the same time, that's part of why we love a show like The Good Wife. And so, you don't need the entire episode to be light, you just need maybe the case to be sort of a weird case, or, you know, some quirky thing to happen in the office that's just sort of like a small piece of it. And this didn't do that, which I agree with
you. It just didn't do it for me. Another light piece of this episode to me, I know it was a more serious issue. Well, maybe it was a more serious issue. I want to talk about this a lot. But David Lee. Anytime I see David Lee, I can't help but laugh. Even if it's his little conniving, serious self. He's just funny. He's supposed to be funny because he's evil, because he's, you know, kind of a douchebag. Let's be honest. He's just funny to me. And so whenever you see him on camera, it's not like you're trained to laugh like he's a comedian, but you do kind of chuckle at him because he's so ridiculous.
Right.
So, and I would have loved to have seen Canning too, but that's okay.
The thing that I love about that though with David Lee is he is so ridiculous. At the same time, we all have that person in our lives that is so ridiculous. Maybe not in the same way as David Lee.
Courtney Henderson.
Stop it. That's me.
Congratulations. That is you.
I'm not ridiculous.
Right. Moving on.
You got that? Where are you going with that?
No, I want to talk.
You just want to change the subject?
Yeah, I don't want to touch it. You can't touch me. The table's too big. Let's talk about ransomware. Can we? Is that okay?
Yep, move on. Yep.
Because Vargas never did it for me, so let's just hold them off, and if something else comes up with it, we'll deal with it next episode. Ransomware. This is the single dumbest thing I have ever seen, maybe ever in the world, besides like the Kardashians. It's okay, they have 72 hours and the clock is ticking the whole time, which I don't understand either the writing or the direction or the acting or a combination of the three in this show, because you have a 72-hour window and no one is stressed about it. They get stressed in that first initial meeting when Diane is like, you know, oh my God, like I clicked on this thing from Alicia, like we have to give them 50 grand. And then the partners are like, okay, 5,000 from every partner in 2 hours, let's go. And then they like
I agree.
Pay the money, and then Diane's like, okay, I'll put it in. Oh, I put in the wrong email. I gotta go to Lockhart Gardner. Can we get a bucket? The whole thing was completely, it was too calm. It was too random. It was like, there was no sense of urgency with Kalinda. Kalinda's on the clock, and then she's having her love affair in bed while she's on the clock with hours to spare. There was no urgency with any of these people. It was almost like it was a joke for all of them. I don't understand if they were directed to do this, if it was the writing that caused them to act this way, or if it was just, I find it hard to believe that it was bad acting from everybody in the cast for an entire week, knowing how good the cast is. I don't understand.
Like, just kind of a coincidence, you mean? So you're saying you think that they were directed to be this way?
I don't know if it was direction to be this way or what, but there's no urgency with this 72-hour thing, and it's already ridiculous enough to me with this ransomware situation that a Russian company takes all your files for 50 grand.
It wasn't even a Russian company. It was a guy. Well, the thing I thought was interesting, because at the end, when Kalinda's talking to him, and she kind of says something along the lines of, you know, they won't care about a little Chicago law firm, but they'll care about all this propaganda, you know, anti-propaganda. Yeah. And I just kind of sat there and I was like, you're right. They wouldn't care about that. How the heck did he find you guys? Why did you get targeted? Of any company to have money, you know what I mean?
Maybe and if you're running spyware, maybe you run it on every major corporation or every professional corporation in America, assuming you can hack into a certain number of them. I mean, I guess I can understand that. The weird thing for me too is it's such a buzzword thing. Pussy riot, anti-Putin. Oh, America knows Putin's bad, so let's do the absolute simplest black and white, no gray area. Putin bad. Put a picture of Putin on this guy. Anti-Putin. Oh, we win. It's just, it's such a quick resolution to such a random story with no urgency on anybody's part whatsoever. Even playing with the Russian dude, there wasn't any, you know, agitation. There wasn't any anger. It was all like a cat and mouse game. You know, it was too casual.
See, the conversation between Kalinda and then the lawyer.
Carrie, the other Carrie.
Yeah. That didn't bother me with the Russian guy, Borkis or whatever.
Boris. Of course it's Boris. That's the other thing. Of course he's Russian and his name is Boris, because we are unimaginative to think about a Russian being named anything other than Boris. I'm serious. We're better than this. This show is better than this story. It really is.
I agree. But that whole encounter didn't bother me, because I liked the cat and mouse of it. The problem I didn't like was leading up to that. Like you said, no urgency. No urgency.
The clock is going down double time, and everybody's like, oh yeah, well, Kalinda, I'm gonna hack this thing. I'm gonna rat them. So like, you know, they got like 6 minutes left. This is like a Die Hard type situation where the clock is ticking. You remember Bruce Willis in these Die Hard movies? Go, 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 go,
yes,
go.
And
I know it's maybe not that intense, but you have to be a little more intense than what you are. Kalinda is such an investigator in everything. And then today, she's like, oh, 72 hours? I'll check it out.
Yeah.
What?
But I was even 72 thinking,
hours.
I was even thinking, okay, how does Kalinda even investigate
what do
you
even this? Do? And then there's a customer service line.
Yeah, that was weird.
What?
Well, the thing that I didn't get was, it also seemed like there was no game plan as to kind of, for the entrepreneur, as he called himself in Russia, it's like, okay, so I'm going to put this on their computer, they're going to pay me the money or not. Either, you know, they're going to lose their files. So they pay me the money. I'm still not getting them their files back, but I'm not asking for more money. I'm just sort of waiting for them to hopefully call the hotline, but I have no idea. So I just didn't get that either. It's kind of like there was no sort of urgency. Maybe if he'd asked for more, but I can't talk today for some reason. Maybe if he had asked for more money or put some sort of, I don't know, just some kind of like a fire under their butts about it.
Well, I mean, he did put enough of a fire under their butts. I assume, though, that one, once he gets them, the encryption doesn't work. They call the hotline, and then he extorts them for more money.
That didn't happen.
I know that, but I assume that's what's going on, or that was what the thing was, because somebody had mentioned that too. But the whole situation, I'm like, would this ever happen? Have you ever heard of this specific situation ever happening? We know spyware and all that stuff exists. Have you ever heard of this specific situation ever happening? No. Maybe it does. I don't know. Educate me,
I'm
please.
I'm sure it does.
But this specific thing. But the way that they handled this specific situation was like, it just, the way they handled it was the same as the graphic on the spyware on Diane's computer. Phony. That graphic was so phony. It was like late 90s, like computer virus graphic. You're like, dude, that's not what it would, that is not what would happen. Come on. It's 2014.
I mean, you've never been ransomed.
By the Russians, I have not. By other people, no comment. It's 2014. We deserve better in our technological stories. Give us better. You know, maybe it was an off week. Maybe they just, you know, you got to have a mulligan every now and again. Lord knows you and I have had a lot of mulligan shows on AfterBuzz. You got to have a mulligan every now and again. But still, this whole thing was a swing and a miss today for me. I'm glad Tara's not here. She'll be back next week. I'm glad she missed this. Good week to miss.
She'll still watch the episode.
Unfortunately, she will.
Oh, I don't think it was that bad.
It was pretty bad.
I don't think so. One thing, you brought up Clinda, and we were kind of talking about her with the woman, and the conversation I thought was interesting that she was having with the agent when they were laying in bed, and she was kind of very calmly, slowly going through the computer to get the access times or whatever it was. And I'm interested to see if this federal agent becomes a bigger player in the show, because she started to give that backstory about her mom. And so I was trying to decide as I watched that if that was supposed to be more telling of Kalinda or more telling of this agent who may, you know, come into play more, because it was pretty telling that Kalinda was like, I don't want to talk about this, or I can't do this. And she said, talk. And she goes, talk about this. And so I don't know if that's, you know, just part of her game as far as she doesn't want to lose this contact by admitting, you know, I'm bi, or I'm not actually gay, you know, I just am exploiting you because I need this information, or what kind of where that's coming from, or if she also has kind of a dark story like this other girl, like the federal agent had, and so it's just kind of like she can't talk about it, and it's not really about Kalinda, it's about this agent who's going to be on the show more.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Maybe this episode was meant... I would like to see her more. Why
you
not?
You would? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't mind her.
With
I would like to
Kalinda?
See her more. Sure, why not? Let's develop that. Why are you looking at me like that?
What do you mean develop it? This has been going on for ages.
No, I mean, let's develop the characters. Let's develop her as a character. Let's see where that goes. Why not? Maybe this episode was to set up the Vargas thing for another episode or two, to set up Parati with that, you know, AUSA situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the stealing intellectual property with JServe. And maybe it sets up Kalinda and her girlfriend, sex partner, whatever you want to call her.
Right.
And maybe that sets up some more character development. So, okay, I'm okay with all that. I want to see where it goes. But as of right now, Sunday night, tonight, coming right out of the episode, it as a standalone episode, terrible.
You didn't like it.
No, terrible.
So, speaking about Kalinda, we kind of saw the eyes Carrie made. And we, in the screening room, we kind of had a little bit of a disagreement, it seemed like.
Oh, we had a tiff. And I won. It's cool. But you can make your case.
I let him think he won. So, in the episode, when Kalinda leaves with the federal agent, and they go to Mr. Kellner's house to try to...
Which, by the way, straight out of Law & Order, you go to the guy's house, we've got the guy's IP address, we're going to arrest the guy. Oh, it's an ignorant old dude. Straight out of Law & Order. That's completely a Law & Order tactic. Like, so... You should
well,
have
not
seen
everybody
coming.
Watches Law & Order.
No, I think everybody does watch
I
Law & Order.
I don't watch Law &
You've
Order.
Seen marathon reruns on...
I haven't.
You don't have to lie to me.
I'm not lying to you.
Like, you don't have to lie to me.
You haven't
America.
Seen him either. You were watching the Kardashian marathon instead.
I was, but everybody's seen, like, one episode of Law & Order. You know you have.
Oh, I'm sure I've seen an episode. I'm saying I don't watch it. I haven't seen episodes. I've never seen that happen.
Don't act like you're too good for us.
I'm not acting too good. I watched The Good Wife.
Don't act like you're too good for us.
I'm not. I'm too good for you. But I'm not too good for us.
Make your point.
Anyway, so in the episode, when Carrie sees Kalinda leave and they're going to Mr. Kellner's house, he kind of like makes eyes because he sees her going down and is a little suspicious. I think he knows.
Down in the elevator, not down.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Down in the elevator, leaving the law firm that they all work at. And I don't know. It just sort of seemed like he knew that there's a history there. And so he was a little suspicious of where they were really going and what they were doing. In addition, I think he speculated when he called and she was talking and just kind of being quiet and a little bit weird. And he asked, oh, where are you? And she says, oh, home. And he goes, do you want me to come over? She says, maybe later, I'm going to work for a while. And he says, okay, sounds good. I 100% think he was testing her and trying to feel out whether or not she was in bed or, you know, with the federal agent.
Okay.
And you didn't agree with that.
No,
that's
I didn't
not
agree
what you
with
thought.
That. I'm making a different point. There's two points I'm making here. The first of which is, are her and Carrie boyfriend and girlfriend? No.
Agreed.
So does Carrie necessarily care that she's with that federal agent as much? Is there that same level of jealousy? Do you think he's in
yes.
love with her?
I do actually think he's in love with her.
That's another debate
or
for another time.
He loves her. Maybe not in love, but I think Carrie has always been more committed to the Kalinda scenario than Kalinda ever has.
Okay. Well, that's a different debate for a different time.
We don't see him going around with anybody else.
Second, and most importantly here, Carrie called her and asked if he could come over, which was obviously sexual in nature, during the 72-hour countdown. Kalinda's supposed to be investigating. Carrie is not stressed at all. He's thinking about sex. She's doing whatever she's doing on her own, whether he knew that or not, during the stupid countdown. Where is the gravity here? There is
none. It wasn't a daytime booty call. I really don't think it was.
Either way,
I think
he
was seeing if she was already on a booty call.
But either way, you wouldn't even ask that question if you were committed to your frickin' law firm trying to get your files back or your whole firm is going to go under because of this countdown. That's priority number one, and for nobody in this office was it priority number one. Diane's priority number one after she figured out what was going on with the email was to get back at David Lee. Alicia has had priorities outside the office for a while, and that's fine. Carrie's priority was testing Kalinda and whatever else was going on with sex, blah, blah, blah. Everybody in this office has and Kalinda obviously has other priorities in addition to investigating this. Everybody has priorities.
She still got her job done.
She did.
And I'm not disagreeing with you.
With a minute left.
It was.
Outside of what should be going on.
Too like movie-esque.
Way too TV. And not only was there a countdown, it double-timed. It went twice as fast. I'm sorry. I shouldn't complain anymore. It's just a bad episode.
You didn't like the episode.
It was a one-off. I'll be back next week. But it was a bad episode.
So let's move on.
Yes,
Let's talk about Alicia. Sorry. Hi, teased you. I want to talk about first. You brought up David Lee a little bit ago and just kind of we're talking about Diane.
Mm-hmm.
So Diane's having issues with this office. Diane, you know, messes up. The email goes to her old email. It auto-filled with this whole ransomware thing. So she has to go. And David Lee, of course, like makes her crawl back in essentially. She kind of creeps in. I don't know, not like head between her legs or anything, but just kind of definitely a little uneasy. And then she sees him and just kind of goes for it. And they negotiate because apparently Diane has something that David Lee wants. She didn't even know that she had something he wanted.
Quick question. And I can see both arguments on this, too. And this is one of those things I really got caught up on fact-wise in this episode. Diane sends the email to her Lockhart Gardner email address. When you leave a company, they shut off your email like the second you walk out the door.
No, not necessarily.
Usually they do.
No, so, sometimes they'll have it forward to somebody else to continue to read through them,
et cetera. But that's my question. The way that Diane left, I'm sure she would have deleted or forwarded all pertinent emails on her own anyways to get them out of that Lockhart Gardner inbox. So she probably left in that inbox nothing. Wouldn't you imagine David Lee would have already combed through it, knowing him, and then deleted it in case she forgot anything and he couldn't ever get into the final.
Because if he could get any one of their clients to accidentally send an email to her old address instead of her
really
new address.
You think he would keep the address?
100%.
Okay.
100%. I do. I don't think that's uncommon at all. I've gotten emails, like responses from people, and they'll write back saying, oh, this person left 8 months ago. And I'm in charge of going through their email inbox.
But maybe under normal circumstances, not the way Diane left. You don't think David Lee would look through everything, see what he could use, and then delete it to be like, you know what?
No.
If she left anything here, she can't get it.
No, I don't, because I think that he's hoping, again, like I said, a client or somebody will reach out in that and he'll have something that he can use, either to get one of her clients, because he said, you know, she said, what do you want? He said, two clients. Obviously, we know who that is. They're not getting Chum Hum. You know, over Diane's dead body. But the building. And I was so excited when she said no. She didn't even question it to giving the lease over and putting in his name. And the thing I didn't like about it was pretty telling because of what was going on with Diane. No one else in the office was having issues with leakiness. No one else was having cockroaches. No one else was having all the, you know what I mean? It was kind of all the light go out. Or if it was, we didn't see it. And I just feel like that should have been maybe a bigger office issue than just a Diane issue. Because to me, all that says is you shouldn't have left because you want to be a big fancy law firm. You already had that and you walked away. And so if you don't like this romantic startup situation, go home.
Well,
which she can't, obviously. We know she can't go back to Lockhart Gardner.
So
Lockhart Gardner.
So laws of three in television, of course. Mm-hmm. Laws of three in screenwriting. Number one, the leak. Mm-hmm. You can fix a leak very easily. And they've been doing a lot of construction, so it would stand to reason
all
you can fix
a
leak
stopped.
Like that.
Number all of a two, sudden, there's no more annoying construction all the time.
Number two, cockroaches. You can kill cockroaches, although they are disgusting, so I'll give her that one to be mad
agreed.
About. Number three, the light goes out. Do you know how easy it is to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah, I was going to say, not to mention, it may not have even been an electrical issue. It may just be a dead light bulb.
So I don't really understand her horrid reaction to the offices. I know that there may be a little non-traditional. She knew that when she came over. She'd been there
exactly.
before. And she says, oh, the neighborhood's real bad. We've never established on this show that these neighborhoods are bad where this new office is. We haven't seen any violence outside. Nobody's been mugged in an episode walking in their car. The only person who had a situation like that was Carrie with the cops. Remember walking
yes.
in his car when he got arrested the first time? We've never seen that this neighborhood is bad for her to warrant saying that. So that's another thing I didn't believe in this episode is Diane, I get it. You had a light go out, replace the bulb. Get your secretary to get a new light bulb. It'll take 2 minutes. A cockroach, that's legit. Okay, we can kill cockroaches. Let's do that. And then the leak, that gets fixed pretty fast. And that's what happens in every place you lease. It's going to happen in this next office, too, no matter how good it is.
Right. And just a little tidbit. I saw on Twitter that the Good Wife set decorators tweeted that cockroach actually had an animal handler.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think that's the rule in union projects anywhere in Hollywood. If it is a living creature, it's got to have...
Yes.
Yeah.
But the fact that they used a living creature instead of doing sort of VFX or some sort of After Effects to insert that, I thought was very interesting.
I would imagine it's probably a lot easier to just use the creature. Just sit it down, film it, as opposed
but
to going into post and creating
cockroach?
It. I don't think you do. I just think you leave it there. And I don't know the habits of cockroaches, but maybe they're lethargic after they eat. So do you feed it and then it just kind of sits there for 2 seconds of film? I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I don't know either.
But maybe it's something like that where they figured out when its most lethargic time is so you can just kind of have it sitting there. I think that'd be a lot easier than creating one in visual effects and post.
Yeah, but you don't know visual effects. Maybe for somebody that's really good at that.
Dropping a cockroach versus creating one in visual effects. I would imagine dropping the cockroach is easier.
But I mean, okay. We don't need to fight about whether. But I just thought that was cool that they used a real one. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't on set that day.
You would have flipped
out.
I'm
not a bug person.
There's cockroaches on the sidewalk a block over from where I live, and they come out at night. It's kind of weird.
Well, there's cockroaches all over.
I know, but I was just thinking of my specific experience with cockroaches, yeah.
And did you freak out?
No, I'm pretty cool with them.
So
I mean, I'm not
going
to
go
on my way to hang out with
them.
But I'll, you know, live and let live, man. Don't step on them.
Well, I wouldn't step on it. I would just remove myself.
Now, if
or
it were in my apartment, I might feel slightly differently.
Exactly. See?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now that the teasing is over, we've covered Diane. We can move on to finally talk about Alicia, which before you get to say anything, I just want to say there were a few things in this episode that were very different. Alicia had those big earrings on early in court. Maybe I'm the only person that noticed this. Maybe I'm the only person that cares. But it just was not Alicia to me. And Kalinda, at one point, she didn't have her big, heavy eye makeup on. And I'm just kind of like, what are they doing? That's all.
Maybe the designers took a week off, too, just like the writers did.
Stop. Stop. We're to the good part of the episode,
according to
you. I know, we are to
the good part. The only part that's worth talking about. We were promised in the promos last week that great fight between Alicia and Peter, and we got like 10 seconds of it, but it was a good fight, so
it really
I'll take
was.
That.
That's acting, the good part. The directing.
That's the good part
all
of the episode.
All of it was exceptional.
She dominated Peter in that fight, in that hallway or whatever, and then Peter played her like a fiddle coming out for that endorsement.
No, I don't think so.
Whether it was Peter or Eli, Alicia was played like a fiddle. She was.
Why do you say that?
Because she was made to look bad, go back to her 2009 Stand By Your Man picture, which she specifically did not want to do.
Eli said that. She didn't say that.
She didn't say that, too. She wanted to be, she needs to be herself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she wanted Peter to stand by her
And you don't think that when she was standing there with Peter, she realized what that thing was going to do in the press at the very end in the press release and the
remember thing? Peter didn't want to stand next to her. Peter wanted to go off to the side.
Yeah,
and they said no. He needs to stand by you.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. She got played.
So how did she get played? Because he ended up standing next to her just like they wanted.
Just like Eli wanted.
Right?
Yeah.
So how did Alicia get played when that's what Eli was doing?
Because that's what Eli wanted. That's not what Alicia wanted. Alicia wanted this to
Alicia
be about...
Alicia didn't care.
But this is about her candidacy. It's not about her husband.
Right? But she still wanted, needed his endorsement.
Did
that
she
was
need
the whole
his endorsement?
That's what the whole fight
the whole
was
fight
about.
Was
did
she,
you listen to the episode?
I did listen to the fight, and I don't think she... I think he needed her more than she needed him, and she was right about that. And she and what they had her say in that fight was something along the lines of, I need you, but you need me too. That's not entirely correct. She pulls so well, and she's in a race that is not going up directly against him, obviously.
Right.
She did not actually need his endorsement because, A, husband and wife, it might have been implied. And if it weren't implied, that's a huge Peter problem on the state of his marriage. And B, if Peter doesn't show up, what does Alicia look like? The same strong woman she's been looking like, ready to take on state's attorney. And Peter looks like the jerk who doesn't show up, and he's the one who gets the questions about the marriage in light of all the stuff he'd been doing.
Right. But it's also one of those things where if Peter's marriage is in question and looks bad, so is hers.
You're right, but that's been the whole point of this season, that because the marriage looks bad, Alicia only comes out stronger for it. Women see her as strong.
I don't think 100%, though.
Well, but enough to win polls, enough to keep doing what she's
doing. But Elfman even said that, you know, she's polling so well, but that's because they haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
The campaign, the running hasn't even started.
Sure, but I mean,
so
what do you want to do?
As soon as the issues and things come out, the polls will go down.
Sure, but even in this announcement, the issues didn't come out. The announcement still would have been about
Alicia's strong. Well, she was just saying that she's running.
Yeah. That's my point.
So I still don't think she got played.
I think she got played by Eli. I think Eli is a little mastermind here.
He didn't know that they were going to have that fight.
No,
I think he's a fixer. I think he fixed the situation and made it the best that it could. And I think it was for both of them. Because I think it looked better for her to have him at her side and to endorse her. I think, so she wins because she gets Finn, mm-hmm. just like she wanted. And that conviction and kind of that whole, whatever's going on there. But he was definitely going out on a limb for her and he wanted to happily. And she wasn't going to stop that because...
Yeah.
I think there's something there a little bit, and I'm not saying romantic, but I mean, there's definitely a camaraderie there, and it could go romantic.
I think it will.
I'm thinking now it might. They've kind of had their time apart, everything that's happened, but I think I think it looked good that, you know, she was kind of surprised, and he comes up, and he supports her, and then he stands there. I don't think that there's a way around that photo, like the comparison of her on the stand.
What happens if...
And I don't think it's a bad thing to show she came, what did it say, from scandal to spotlight?
2009 to 2014. What happens if Alicia becomes Finn's boss?
I don't know. I don't know that that's going to happen. We already, in the predictions last week, we talked about how we didn't think that she would win. That she would pull out of the race, which is why she wouldn't win.
That wasn't my prediction. I think that was Tara's.
Oh, maybe. Okay. But we discussed that last week.
I'm just saying. Looking very far ahead.
That she might be... Well, I think he knows that. And I think maybe he's pushing for that. And that's part of why he's endorsing her. No?
I don't know. I mean, I know he likes her professionally and platonically. And maybe not so platonically. And, I mean, we'll save it for predictions. I have a lot to say about that, but we can save that for predictions.
So, lastly, kind of about the fight, you know, between... So, where do you think that's going to go as far as Peter... I mean, he shows up, and I don't think Eli did that.
When you... Let's be real. Can we be real for 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
You'll agree with me on this. You will agree with me dead on this. Peter, I'm going to talk to you right now. When you cheat on your wife with another woman... You can't
several
ever,
hookers.
Ever, ever, you cannot ever tell your wife down the road to let it go. She needs
yes.
to, I don't want to say get over it, but she needs to deal with it. And you need to, if you're going to stay together, you have to find a way around it. But that is something you can never let go. She can never forget it. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't have to hold it against him, and she shouldn't if they're going to have a relationship,
but
although they don't.
I think that's what he means by let it go.
But
forget it? I don't think you can forget it.
But you can't yell at her, would you just let it go? Would you just let it go? You can't say that. You cannot say that. She has the ultimate trump card on you, and if you don't want her to have that trump card, excuse my language advisory right now. If you don't want her to have that trump card, don't fuck other women. It's really that simple. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
And as far as that goes. And you're wrong about a lot of other
things. It's that simple. You can't, and you cannot yell at her in an argument, let it go. You can't do it.
And the thing that, because I have mixed feelings, because I definitely think that if you're going to stay together and you're going to have a working, functional, good, healthy relationship.
Which they don't.
If you're going to build that after something like infidelity or affairs or cheating, at whatever level, at some point, you do have to let it go. Now, should your partner yell it in your face? No, never.
Maybe we're talking about the same thing in a different way with different words, but let it go means you just forget about it. You let it go. Just boom.
But at some point, if you're going to have a good functional relationship, you do have to let it go. But I definitely
think
that.
Talk about it in different words. You have to come to terms with it and build past it together. That doesn't mean you ever let it go. It's a part of your relationship, just like all the good times are a part of your relationship. You know, it's a memory in your past. Whether or not you want to bring that memory up, you still have to acknowledge that it happened. You can't ever let it go. Oh, hey, you know, I cheated on you before, but we don't talk about that anymore, baby. You can't do that.
But I also don't think that as in a relationship that you can't keep bringing that up.
No, you shouldn't bring it up, but you also shouldn't let it go. You have to acknowledge it's a part of your past. It's a building block you've
built. Well, we're defining
from.
Let it go differently, though.
We are. That's
because
what I'm saying.
I definitely think that you have to let it go to have a healthy relationship if that's what you're going to decide to do.
Well, Peter
beyond
yelling at her,
cheating.
Peter yelling at her, just let it go. Does it sound like he's defining it? Like to say, hey, let's build off this and get better.
No, but that you didn't let me finish my point. My point was, they have an arrangement now. They're a power couple. They're not a married couple.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. And so they don't have a marriage. They have an agreement. And Peter agreed to that because up to this point, it's only benefited him really to be in this marital arrangement. And she's, well, no, that's not true because with the name and everything, she has had some preferential treatment or been able to open some doors for herself and her law firm, etc. But I feel like the overwhelming benefit was for Peter in campaigning, et cetera. He wouldn't be governor if Alicia had not stayed by his side.
That's true.
So it really bothered me when he said, this is a favor.
And not only that, but it bothered me when he accused Alicia of sucking it up with Finn Polamar. You cheat on your wife, and then you have an arrangement and not a marriage. You don't really get to question what your wife is or is not doing. And by the way, she's been doing nothing from what we can see and understand.
But as has Peter that we've seen.
Exactly. But you, with your past, you are not exactly beyond reproach. You are not maybe the one to throw the first stone.
Agreed.
Right?
No, absolutely not. He doesn't get to do that.
Exactly. And that's a low blow.
But it's also interesting because it seems like the Will thing, he kind of did let go. In the way I defined it, you know what I mean? Because he was willing to move forward, he was willing to work on it, and she just didn't want to.
Will was also dead.
Well, but I mean before that.
Okay.
They mean, it wasn't when he died that they decided to try things again.
Yeah.
You know, it was prior to that. Anyway, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if they... I thought she was going to threaten divorce when she was talking about, okay, don't show up. But then, you know, this, all it will happen. I thought she was going to say, you know, then I'll divorce you, mm-hmm. kind of a thing. But that's not what happened. And I definitely think if they were to divorce, she would be the one that would be better off publicly as well as otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm like, Peter, what are you going to do? Move back in with your mom? Like, that's kind of how I feel.
No, and she's already looked like a strong, independent woman anyways in all these polls. So if they did divorce, maybe she'll fall a little bit, but how much could she fall? Peter's still the sleazy one.
Well, and they kept saying, 8 points, 8 points. And, you know, I'm no campaign manager, but they basically make it sound like that's an impossible loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, they said...
For a local state's attorney's race, maybe it is.
Right. Well, so we'll see. But anyway, all right, let's move on to predictions. Predictions.
Guess we'll do it.
You're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
All right.
You first. You said you had a lot to say.
No, I don't have a lot to say. I just had a lot to say about Finn and Alicia because the rest of the show is crap. I think
the rest of the episode.
Yeah, this episode, this show, today, tonight's show.
episode. Just call it an episode.
Let it go.
I'm not going to let that go.
Okay. I think Finn, I think I said this last week, mm-hmm. will... Well, I guess maybe the timing is too late now. I guess Monday was the day to decide and the day she announced. So maybe the timing's too late. I was going to say Finn will announce that he's going to run for state's attorney too.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll kind of let them have that relationship where they're playing against each other, sort of. Finn has nothing to lose. Now that he's endorsed Alicia, Castro's going to get rid of him. You know, if Alicia wins, maybe she'll keep him, whatever happens. If Castro wins again or something else happens, Finn's got to know he's done in that office, right?
You can't fire somebody because of their political views.
But Castro will find a reason some other way or force him out.
He's too busy trying to deal with Carrie.
No, Castro takes everything so personally, he will find time for this. Believe that. So Finn,
that's your prediction.
Finn has, Finn has to know he's done anyway. So his time at the state's attorney's office, I think, is coming to a close. Will he stay on the show? God, I hope so. I haven't heard anything otherwise yet. And we'll find a way for him to go wherever he goes. But I can't imagine he's going to be in the state's attorney's office too much longer, at the furthest the rest of the season, and that's it. And depending on what happens before that, who knows?
I don't think that's going to happen.
You think he's going to stay with the state's attorney?
I do. I don't think if his job was truly completely in jeopardy like that, that he would have made the endorsement.
I think he would have because he hates Castro and knows he's a capable attorney and can do a lot of other stuff. He can come work for Alicia and Diane. Wouldn't that be something?
But Alicia wouldn't be there.
He could work for David Lee.
No. No one can work for David Lee.
He could work for Elsbeth.
Oh, gosh. Okay. No, maybe they'll start their own law firm.
God.
Tassioni and Polmar.
Polmar.
Polmar, Tassioni. I don't know who would go first, but any other predictions?
Nah, that's it.
That's it? That was kind of lame.
Well, I just, the other parts of this episode were just so
lame.
Stupid.
Is what you're
thinking? Yeah, they're just incredibly lame. I've already let them go.
I just feel like this episode has become a little bit like of a tribute to Frozen, which is bothering me.
To Frozen.
Let It Go. That's song. It's like the thing people...
Sorry, I'm not big on animated features. My bad.
Oh, you just lost all your fans.
I haven't seen anything since Lion King.
Such a good movie. Anyway, my predictions. I think that, as I kind of mentioned early in the episode, that Alicia and Finn will find themselves in a flirty situation. They're already joking about it. The photo... Alicia's not worried about the photo, but I'm a little bit interested to see kind of... what happens? I feel like they're going to get themselves into some trouble. I don't think that's what will cause her to have to pull out of the race or to lose if she were to. And I definitely predict that we... Eli's daughter.
That's a cheap prediction because you saw it on the promos. But, okay.
But that's
okay.
Part of prediction. So based on seeing that, we predicted this a long time ago. I really wanted to see her come back. I'm so excited that she's going to be at Alicia's side. If she doesn't make Alicia want to quit so that she doesn't have to deal with her anymore, I don't know what will happen. Because Eli's daughter is just a very quirky person, and I love the character, but I don't think her and Alicia are going to mesh very well. And just what we've seen tonight with what her conversation with Elfman and talking about this is asking, what's his face? Why can't I even think of words? When Alicia was told to ask Finn not to... endorse her, she kind of had that conversation with Elfman, and he was like, well, this is going to be the first of many things that basically you're just going to have to do because that's what we do in politics.
Yeah.
And it just kind of was one of those where I'm like, she's not cut out for this. This isn't for her. And I definitely think that Eli's daughter is just going to be like a mini Eli and is going to be kind of pushing her buttons and that it's not going to be for her.
I can see that.
But I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see that relationship grow, and I'm really glad that they brought her back because I think she's going to be a good addition to kind of bringing that quirky lightheartedness to bits of the episode versus somebody like Elsbeth, which you kind of think overtook the episode. I don't think that this character, that Eli's daughter, and I wish I knew her name, but I don't think that her character will ever be able to kind of overpower.
Her. No, she's good. She should come back.
She'll be a good little kind of like break from the intensity.
For God's sakes, no more Elsbeth, please. At least for another season. Give me a season off Elsbeth.
No, they'll bring her back here. She'll be in next week's episode. She just will. That's what I think.
Great.
Anyway, all right, that's all of our predictions. Where can we find you online?
If after this debacle of an episode and after show you still actually want to tweet me, I am at Bobby DeMiro on Twitter. And you can be mean, I can handle it.
Ooh, look at that. All
Bring
right.
On.
I like it. Yeah. I am your host, Courtney Henderson. I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at C-O-U-H-E-N. Thanks for joining us for another Good Wife After Show.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.